Hello and welcome to the NGA podcast. It's always Media Thursday with me, Justin Pearce, the editor, and...
me, Andy Oakes, the publisher.
Andy Oakes, the publisher, is today wearing, in the studio, a baseball cap.
I am. And there is science behind this. I've seen a lot of podcasts, videos of podcasts, and a lot of people tend to wear baseball caps under their headphones. So I'm thinking...
That's your excuse.
That's my excuse. That's what I'm trying. I'm trying something new.
You look good. Suits you.
Yeah, I'm not going for the full reverse baseball cap. I'm going...
Well, we're doing a lot of video podcasts at the moment, so probably, maybe, the next It's Always Media Thursday, we can make a video podcast and the audience can see you in a baseball cap.
Maybe we could start selling It's Always Media Thursday branded baseball caps.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Give the public what they want, whether they want it or not.
It's Always Media Thursday podcast merchandise coming your way soon. So listen, let's kick off the real podcast. This is, I suppose we've already started, haven't we? But as is traditional, I always say that traditionally, I'll turn to you, Andy Oakes, publisher of New Digital Age, and say what's been going on this week.
So this week it has been advertising week in London. At the Picture House down on Shaftesbury Avenue. The great, the good, and Justin Pearce have been on stage telling people, expounding their wares. There's been a lot of sustainability. There's been a lot of AI. There's been a lot of retail media, I've noticed. Paul Gubbins did CTV.
What about CTV? Oh, good.
Paul Gubbins did it. It's fine. No one else had to do
yeah,
it.
It's done.
Because Gubbins did it.
Good.
So that's fine.
He does do it.
He does it well.
Do you know what? One thing I really love, and this is true, is Paul Gubbins's LinkedIn polls. I love them. And I always vote in them, and they're kind of really quite interesting.
There we go.
That's a slide note.
So back to advertising week.
Yeah, back to advertising week.
Seemed quite busy on different days. I mean, I've seen some interesting sessions. I saw a great session with Pete Markey talking about AI and marketing, how they're using it at Boots.
Okay. The great Pete Markey.
The great Pete Markey.
That's better.
Saw a great session yesterday with Paul Wright of Uber and other people talking about, again, a lot of AI chat, but also everything with Uber advertising is quite interesting, I find.
Yeah, me too. We talked about it before. When Paul or someone who are advertising explains to you the possibilities and potential of what's happening, it's kind of obvious, but it's not obvious to really hear about it. So, yeah, I think they're doing amazing.
But, yeah, advertising week, my only down on advertising week is the queuing. There is too much queuing. There's too much standing on stairs.
If there wasn't queuing,
you'd
have nothing to moan about and you like moaning. So, therefore, without the queuing, it wouldn't be as exciting an experience for you as it is with the stairs and the queuing.
You know, my wife has a very similar thing that if I'm never happy unless I've got something to grump about.
You are, exactly.
So thank you for the cues. The cues were great. I enjoyed them.
Well, yeah, advertising week, it's kind of a staple. We need it. I thought maybe this year, I don't know, hard to tell because it is different each year. Maybe potentially, there wasn't enough amazing content just for me, because normally there is, but maybe I was looking in the wrong place. But yeah, it's always a great event and kind of a necessary part of our industry.
I think events organisers get a bit damned if you do and damned if you don't, because and I'm talking about the big celebrity sessions, you know, when they're in, and Advertising Week used to be the one that pulled in huge names for slightly murky reasons to get, you know, and that big crowd came in to see them. Now, you know, a lot of people look at that and think, oh, what do they know? Similarly, when we were in Miami the other week and you're now legendary ranting about John Bon Jovi.
John Bon Jovi was, even though John Bon Jovi's amazing, he was kind of one of those typical celebrities that didn't actually say anything useful for marketing. But LL Cool J at Possible, as I've said before, was brilliant. And everything he said about authenticity and storytelling, that was spoken through a marketer, through a brand's lens.
Yeah.
That was a really good addition to the show.
Now, interestingly, our friends of Madfest have got Gary Neville on their event, which is coming.
Which I wondered who week it was.
Gary Neville's a footballer.
Exactly.
An ex-footballer, ex-Manchester United and England footballer, but now runs successful hotel businesses.
I like hotels.
You do like hotels, don't you? In fact, you did confide to me earlier in the week that if you weren't doing this, you'd quite like to run a chain of hotels.
I like to just own hotels, have hotels across the world.
Just across the world?
Yeah, I will.
Okay. Well, if we take one thing from that podcast, it's that you are an aspiring Rocco Forte.
Exactly. So, yeah, Advertising Week, good, another great show. Retail media, CTV, AI, obviously these are the top subjects that dominate the industry and kind of rightly so. Retail media is, at the moment, one of my most obsessive areas. So we did an event, was it last week or week before? Sometime very recently, with our good friends at Media Rhythmics. And it was a three-session afternoon event. It was amazingly good. And one of the CTV panel, there was a future-proofing your media strategies panel, right up soon coming on NDA, shameless plug. And then there was a session on retail media, which is absolutely brilliant. Had people like Julie Jean-Claude from Dunnhumby on it, and also Critio and others. But yeah, retail media is a fascinating space. The more and more you dig into it, the more and more interesting it comes. And there's no doubt it's booming. We saw the big report from the IAB talking about putting out for the first time retail media. We also have another podcast coming up here, interviewing the incredible Jill Orr, who's the EMEA boss of Critio. And it's a fascinating space. And the more and more you dig into it, the more you find. And it's not, yes, it's noisy. There's an incredible amount of noise out there about retail media, but it's something that's sort of being built in front of our eyes. And the opportunities are amazing for advertisers, for agencies, and obviously for tech companies.
As ever, and we seem to have had this discussion about many things over the years. I heard at Advertising Week, and I'm struggling to remember who said it now, that there's one of the issues surrounding retail media at the moment is that people are just... the metrics aren't standardised yet.
Definitely. And that was, again, that's something that Jill and I talked about on the upcoming podcast, standardisation. And as you and I both know, every new section of our industry, what do we need? Standards.
It's like you could write any story about any technical innovation over the last 15 years, and people will say, well, agencies don't know how to deal with it because they're stuck in their silos. Oops, we don't know. Is it the year of X? And, well, we really need standard metrics on this.
Education needed.
Yeah. And you could literally put in anything that we've talked about since 2005 in that, and we could have those same three arguments. It's basically how I do panels.
Exactly.
if those three things have already been answered, don't invite me on a panel.
But then again, that's kind of why it is such a fascinating and fun industry. Yes, things go in cycles, and yes, things are all the same. But when something like, you know, CTV comes up, retail media comes up, it pops up and dominates headlines because of the potential. And if something's new, people don't understand it. Education is needed. And how, you know, and these silos and agencies, and silos at brands, silos everywhere, kind of, it's always going to happen because something new comes up. Who's going to do it? Who's going to pay for it? Who's going to be the ones that are going to run the campaigns? So it's something that's, as you say, it's an evergreen problem in the industry, but that's what makes it
I had
fun.
An interesting chat advertising with someone who'd probably best remain unnamed.
What were they called?
I'll tell you later, but okay. the best remains unnamed is sort of a thing where I said it. Is that we were talking, having this exact same conversation, and he said, or she said, that one of the reasons actually things have gone back in agencies in terms of silos.
Oh, really? Okay.
Purely because of the people haven't come back. There's so few people in the office, it's so few times.
Good point.
And people aren't mixing across teams. And in the bigger agencies, the bigger networks agencies, they're saying that it's harder sometimes to get stuff done in that respect because people aren't doing the same, you know, walking over to someone's desk to find out what's going on that they used to do.
That's a really interesting point. I can definitely see that happening.
That was a pause that we don't really need in a podcast. Hundreds of visitors.
That was me thinking. And just in terms of silos and agencies and agency growth and all these sort of macro factors. Are they macro factors? I guess they are in our industry. But I think we'll see these again play out at, is it next month? Is it next month? At Cannes. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Cannes because that's, I mean, we always talk about Cannes and its need or not. But all things we're talking about, the different focuses, the need for education, the need for standards, the need for, as you say, you know, agencies to be able to eradicate silos, dealing with sort of staff problems, etc.
Yeah.
We'll see that's playing out in Cannes, I guess, next month.
Well, it depends who's there, doesn't it? Because you talk to someone about Cannes and they still say, oh, I'm not sure if I'm going.
Yes, exactly that.
And let me tell you this, if you haven't booked your accommodation, you're probably not going because... There's nothing left. Also, handy pro tip, if you want to book flights, don't book EasyJet from Gatwick. book Ryanair from Stansted.
Good loop. We're all going on the train this year, which is...
I know we should all be going on the train, but...
We should, and because I was talking to Fee Salmon at Catchfly this morning, who I met on the way into work on my train, because she lives around the corner, and as regular listeners will know, next door to my daughter's old childminder. And that's a common theme on the podcast. But as she was saying, you know, it puts an extra couple of hours on the journey.
It's more than a couple of hours.
How many hours?
Well, it takes you a couple of hours to get to Paris.
Are we on train chat again?
Yeah. But so I'm going to suggest it's another 7 hours on from there.
I don't think it's 7 hours.
From Cannes to... Well, I can't check because my phone's not in the studio. But it's I'm looking at our engineer saying, can you Google how long it takes Paris to Cannes on the train?
But not that long, but it is honestly, it's a big point about the fact that, you know, the Good Loop kind of have to. That's what Good Loop
I understand why Good Loop have to do it,
but
yes.
Then again, kind of, why shouldn't everyone be, bearing in mind the focus on sustainability? Nice segue to our next subject. But it is interesting. I met someone the other day who works for a massive global ad tech company. I won't say who it is. But he was saying that his CEO goes everywhere on economy. And he does. It wasn't just a sort of a posturing statement. He does. He makes everyone else go. And the person I was talking to who has to fly regularly to Australia wasn't that happy on this. But again, back to talking to Fee this morning, I was talking the carbon impact of a business class flight compared to an economy class flight is way higher. And I'm not quite sure what that is.
I don't understand that. But what I can tell you is it takes between 5 and 7 hours from Paris to Cannes by train. So you've already got to get to Paris. There's your 2.5 hours. Then another 5 to 7 hours.
To get to Paris from Cannes.
Well, the other way around, but you're still going to go back. Yes. Yeah, so
I see.
You're spending upwards of 18 hours on a train.
You really much prefer to do a train chat podcast.
Do you know what? It's the dream. I could get a train driver's hat for that one.
It's not my dream. So listen, continue on the sustainability theme, because yes, it is a sort of it's an imperative for every company, and yes, not everyone can do it, especially people like you who are too lazy to put the extra few hours in for a train journey to Cannes rather than a plane flight. But sustainability. The segue was, we hosted an amazing dinner last night. It was an NDA in partnership with IO, NDA Digital Women Initiative, around sustainability.
It was, and in a change of... It wasn't you or I hosting it.
No, it definitely wasn't. It was the amazing Lydia Oakes, who's a third partner in Blue Stripe Group, which owns NDA. And, yeah, we had sort of 30 or some of the best women in our industry, leaders in our industry, talking, discussing sustainability. And hearing back about it this morning, it was that point that just bringing the right people together can help engender change.
I was talking to Lyd about it this morning, and honestly, I haven't seen her quite, and this is, you know, an indictment on me as her husband, I haven't seen her quite so excited for a while.
That was a really bad line.
That was awful, wasn't it? We're going to have to edit that
and
one
And a
out.
Really bad indictment of you as a husband and human being.
Yeah. So, right. But the point was, she absolutely loved it. And I think the absence of blokes at an event absolutely helped. And she was talking about how the chat flowed very, very easily, how nobody felt intimidated into not speaking, and how it was just genuinely one of the best events she'd been at, because everybody felt empowered to speak. She does. I mean, obviously, we don't know, because how can we? What and all. But so I thought that was quite an interesting phenomenon.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, yeah, going back to sort of people being intimidated and speaking on stage. And obviously, we used to run PMU, which was a course designed to give women a better, louder public voice. But I remember it was years ago when you and I were, we won't say who, but at a conference, and one of the companies we were working with was sort of talked over on stage in front of us by a man. She was a woman. And then, because this woman was so amazing, just slapped the man down.
But yes.
This thing does go on all the time, and especially because it's so prevalent, because, you know, we're doing it in a small way, something to help, or, you know, with things like PMU. It's an ongoing thing. You know, we run so many panels and so many events and stuff, and I moderate and host so many, and ensuring everyone has an equal share of voice is kind of the reason I'm there. And often making sure everyone's got an equal share of voice when it's a mixed panel is harder than...
Well, yeah, you know, the effort we put in to ensure a level of diversity in all panels. And to be fair, most event organisers do.
True.
Especially in the UK, and I do think the UK is pretty good at this, that we most and our market, we do know that it is hard, but you've got to get on and do it, and there's no excuses. There are plenty of organisations that will help you do it, and there are plenty of, you know, you can just go on our website and see how many great women speakers are available on any topic. So let's get on to it. And kudos to the blokes out there. And I'm talking about you, Stephen Lepitak of Adweek, who said, oh, I don't want to do your panel the other day because I don't like the look of diversity on it. Just that we hadn't added everyone to it when he saw it. So we weren't doing a bad panel. We're doing a good panel, and Stephen's coming on it.
No, it's true. People like Stephen get asked for panels all the time, and making a stand is important. So anyway, talk about last night's event. It was an amazing event, and we've got one of the attendees joining us now. So we have Emma Jensen, who's Digital Director at PhD, one of our favourite people in the industry. So Emma, hi, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you both?
We're
really good.
We are good.
We've grumped at each other through the start of this podcast.
No, you were grumpy. I'm never grumpy.
All right, but we're hoping you can bring some levity to this, to two grumpy old men.
Sorry you had to see that. But listen, we've just been talking about the event last night at which you were a guest. So how was it? What were your thoughts?
Yes, well, I think firstly, thank you for co-hosting and putting that on. I think it's always fabulous to definitely celebrate women in media and also talk about one of the hottest topics around, which is sustainability. For me, I thought it was really great to have loads of different women from different parts of media, so agency, tech, publisher side, and I felt like we had some really interesting and productive conversations, and it was also really eye-opening to see what other people were doing in that space.
Fantastic. Yeah, I thought, because, you know, all the people in there, obviously I know well, and everyone's doing amazing work. But, you know, but getting everyone together to talk, that's kind of fascinating. What are your thoughts generally about the sort of sustainability, I guess, conversation across the industry? Do you think sometimes it's in danger of becoming too hyped up, or...?
Yeah, it was something that we touched on last night. I think it's similar to other areas that we've had to encounter in digital. I think where we kind of came to as a conclusion point last night was that knowledge sharing and transparency is really important, because, like you were just saying, loads of different companies have their own approach to sustainability. In terms of the importance of sustainability, I think that it's definitely a topic, and it's something that we collectively can have a lot of influence over, and potentially even, you know, furthering that influence into government and making different rules and regulations that can really help our industry in the long run.
What are you seeing in terms of clients focus on this? Because I guess what's interesting, that I've talked to so many people over the last few months about this, and a lot of people seem to say that this could be a deciding factor on account wins, you know, and new business, that sort of thing. Are you seeing lots of interest, pressure, conversations from clients around sustainability?
Yeah, so I think typically as a role as an agency, you also always need to make sure you're at the forefront and are educating your clients in the best way for them to progress in general. So a lot of our clients and my main one, Diageo, are very invested in sustainability, and it's a real pleasure to have open communications and dialogues with them. In terms of, I think if we would turn down clients, that is a little bit above my pay grade, so I'm not in that position to answer. But I still think it goes back to the point where, as an agency, it is our role to educate and, you know, facilitate some of those conversations. So I personally think it'll be interesting to see, because, playing devil's advocate, at the end of the day, this is a money making. We are a business, so it will very be interesting to see, you know, who takes a stand in what kind of capacity.
That's a point I ask everybody on this topic. I mean, we had Amy Williams of Good Loop on this podcast talking about this very same topic, and I said, is there not a point, especially with the economy we have now, where people say, do you know what, just get the job done and do it really well, and, you know, sustainability is a nice to have, but at the moment we need to make money.
I think it's
I think in 2023 that's just not enough. I don't think we can rest on our laurels and become complacent. And my background being programmatic. It's always innovative. It's always evolving. And I think we can apply that to every facet of digital. So definitely, you know, appreciate that everything's always progressing. But I think with sustainability, we need to make sure that we're not being complacent. And it's just like, you know, years ago hearing about it's going to be the year of mobile or connected TV. It's just something else that we need to factor in and to do a really good job of.
What do you think, when you mentioned the year of mobile, year of CTV, what do you think at the moment about the focus on things like CTV, retail media? What's exciting you when you look out into the industry?
At the moment everything sustainable?
At the moment, you know, we look at, and not beyond the sustainability argument, you know, all the, there's so much going on innovation-wise, as always in the industry. What are you excited about?
Yeah, for sure. So I think I'm, and I've always had this pipe dream of seeing how we can, I guess, connect how we're using our data in everyday life. So I had a really great chat, and I know that there was some talks at Adweek with Uber to see what we can do in terms of their data and how we can utilize that. So I think that's really interesting and something I'm really excited about. And then I think, as always, seeing how we can better bridge the gap between online and offline, and how our online media can, you know, be attributed to, you know, offline sales or offline actions taken by the consumer.
Yeah, Uber advertising, and, you know, I'll talk about that. Definitely one of the most interesting.
Is that something you're being asked for a lot more now, Emma? Just that link between the sale, that the campaign and the sale, do they want to see more attribution?
I think every brand would obviously love to see more attribution.
I bet, yeah.
I think PhD is in a really nice place where we have so many different teams that we are able to try and facilitate those conversations as best that we can. I think for, you know, like I said, any brand, they would love to be able to one day live in that perfect world where we could link up everything. So it's just making sure that we can put our best foot forward, so to speak.
So let's talk a little bit about the wider industry. I mean, on this podcast, we also talk about events. It was Advertising Week this week, Cannes next week. What's your view on just the event sort of landscape of our industry generally? Were you Adweek? Are you going to Cannes?
So I think Cannes is definitely an interesting one, especially if we relate it back to sustainability. I know that some publishers I've been talking to have questioned, not that we don't love Cannes and the connections that you can make over there, but I think a lot of some publishers are questioning from a sustainability point of view the value of Cannes, and essentially you do need to practice what you preach in some form of capacity. So I think that'll be interesting to see what will happen from Cannes. I think for Adweek as well, over the years since I've moved to London, it's definitely getting a lot more busier, a lot more crowded, which is really great. But I think it could also be interesting to see how they look at making that a more sustainable event, and how, you know, that can, I don't know how, I don't have the answers for that. I would love to look into that more, but how that can be more sustainable and end up even having more attendees in the future.
I think we have to say, just so we don't get sued, because this has happened, Adweek and Advertising Week are different things.
Yes, sorry. Yes, sorry.
Because
and obviously, Emma, they're going to sue you.
They're suing you. So, so Adweek, if you're listening, sue Emma Jensen at PhD. Don't sue us. We are too small.
Or sue Andy.
Sue me.
Yeah, sue Andy.
Sue me. That's fair.
I mean, I just think sustainability events is a quite fascinating issue. And every event, I mean, we're massive partners with most events, but Madfest is a good example. Getting ready for the show in July. And yeah, every event organiser we know, Stephen Scavardi over at MediaTel, you know, we talked to him a lot. He's an event of ours coming up soon. We know what he does. Every event organiser is focused on sustainability now, but it's tough. It's really tough.
There are easy steps. I mean, it was very noticeable this week. There was a lack of crap being handed out by sponsors.
You mean nicely branded merchandise?
Nicely branded merchandise that could also double up as crap. There was, I mean, things just taking plastic wallets off badges, for instance.
Right. Yeah, good point.
I mean, I think it's lots of small things that could be done. And it was something we were talking about last night. So, yeah, it is interesting, like you were just saying, Andy, how smaller things have been done. And it'll be, again, intriguing to see what happens in the future.
But, yeah, I take your point on Cannes as well. I think there are going to be some big questions about that. And if I'm being cynical, and I'm almost never that, I do think a lot of people are hiding behind us saying, gee, it's really bloody expensive to go down there. We'll tell people it's not sustainable.
Yeah,
so I think there
exactly.
are two things
and
at play there.
100%. And I would also argue for Cannes as well. Again, would love to go, would never say no. But I think a majority of the people that you meet, we're all based in London, realistically within 20, 30 minutes of each other. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that event is in, you know, 15, 20 years' time.
I totally agree with you, Emma.
I mean, Cannes is such an important part of the industry. It always gives me fear.
But we could hold it in Catford.
Do you know what? We could hold it in Catford. I went past Catford in training the other day and looked out. It didn't look too bad. Because Catford used to be the worst place in the world.
Catford, it didn't look too bad. There's the slogan for inward investment into Catford.
So, Emma Jensen, would you come to an advertising festival in Catford? Let's not answer that. So, could we?
Why not? Absolutely.
Or Margate.
Margate's the idea, isn't it?
It's a lot of other places.
Emma, I just wanted to talk to you about the event.
Margate would be fabulous.
Yeah,
he would. He would.
I just want to talk about the event last night, Emma. You were there. Just the dynamic of having 30 women at an event. How is that different to mixed events, the normal, you know, the usual event you might go to? Because just talking to Lydia, who is the host, said it was a very different dynamic.
It was, and I felt like it was really empowering, especially for someone. I'm in my early 30s and starting to toy about having a family and having a career. And it was really empowering to see some of the women there who have families. And it does make, you know, more of the people who are toying in that life stage at the moment that you can have both a career and also a family as well. And it was just a really enjoyable setting. Not that, you know, mixed roundtables aren't enjoyable settings, but I think given that we have so many women in media, it was really inspiring. And I left that event with a full heart and a full stomach.
Oh, that's the best.
That's the line, isn't it?
Yeah,
we need do no more.
Yeah.
We don't have to go to an event ever again.
Exactly. Well, look, Emma, thank you so much for coming last night and thank you so much for coming on today. Amazing to see you and look forward to seeing you in the real world again very soon.
Absolutely. Thank you both so much and speak to you both soon.
Thanks.
Great to see you, Emma.
Bye.
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 Yeah, that was a fantastic two-line review of the event. Yeah, Emma's definitely one of our industry's best. It's fantastic to see her last night. So we've covered a lot of ground as usual. There's been train chat.
Stay tuned for the Andy Oakes train podcast.
Don't bother. Well, maybe we could do a train special.
I'm going to put that out on Twitter later. If you want to be involved in the
I know a few of your Twitter friends who've definitely been into that.
So do I.
There are more train people than you expect, I suppose. It's true.
Well, they're better than bus people.
Yeah, this podcast as usual is tailing off into irrelevance. But thank you so much for listening. Goodbye from me, Justin Pearce, the editor of New Digital Age, but also goodbye from
Andy Oakes, train editor, New Digital Age.
Bye-bye.